congratulations on your debut. This is your first book, but not your first rodeo as a writer. How does it feel to have something tangible like a novel out in the world?
Yeah, it's amazing. It's quite surreal after so much effort. I mean, it starts out very much just an idea in my head and then slowly start to snowball into something. But it takes a long time until other people start to think of it as a story themselves. And, you know, you get editors working with you and publishers, and then eventually it goes out in the world and people are responding to it and talking about these characters that you sort of just cooked up in your head one day. It's a little bit surreal, but it's lovely, and it's lovely to hear how people are responding to it. Get that feedback from people. It's been brilliant.
You talk about having, you know, the characters and the idea cooking for a long time. How did the idea for Gemini Falls come about?
Yeah, I think a couple of inspirations. I think, first of all, hearing about my grandparents growing up, how they lived through the Depression, I think that was a big inspiration. So my mum's dad grew up in inner city Perth, in East Perth, and had a really hard life. You know, they were living in a place with a dirt floor, and they had to trap rabbits to get enough food to eat, and went to school without shoes, and, you know, that kind of real tough life in the 30s had a real impression on me. And then my dad's parents grew up in Manchester, and, you know, they always had, you know, they always saved the leftovers of everything, and they saved the wrapping on papers and everything. With, you know, they'd been through hardship in the 30s and then rationing during the war, and they, you know, left in the 50s to move to the other side of the world to try and find a better life for their family. So those things really had an impression, and I wanted to learn more about what their life must have been like at the time. There's a curiosity there. But then on top of that, I think there's a lot of parallels between the 30s and now. Obviously, there's a lot of differences. There was high unemployment then, and we've got different troubles in stagnant wage growth. But there's a lot of similarities in people struggling to maintain steady housing in the 30s, and we've got that problem now. There's a lot of insecure work now than there was then. There's a cost of living crisis now and there was then. You know, the scale is different, but we face a lot of the same challenges. And so I think looking back at the past and thinking about how people lived and got through that and the kind of policies that came out of that that improved things has some level of instruction for us now to look at our own time and to get a little bit of distance by putting characters in the past and focusing on the same themes as a way to instruct ourselves today. So those were kind of the two main inspirations for setting a story back then in the Depression.
Yeah, there are so many parallels, you know, between then and now. The Great Depression is not always the most glamorous thing to talk about or maybe even, you know, set a story, but it's incredibly pertinent. And you talk about this in your author's note, but the idea of this really strong tradition in art and books to explore contemporary themes through a historic lens. Arthur Miller does it in The Crucible, and Shakespeare does it a lot in his work. And you talk about those perspectives being valuable. I can't help but also think of the link between, I guess, COVID and the Depression without conflating the two. We've seen in the last couple of years a really massive social, economic, political shift. Has the pandemic influenced your writing at all?
Yeah, it definitely has. And I think it's influenced all of us in so many ways. It's always going to influence the things that people write about. But I think you're really right. There's a lot of parallels in the fact that there were epidemics back then of polio and other diseases that transformed society in a way that the pandemic has transformed us now. And there's also a lot of changes that can happen as a result of the way people have to adapt during this time. So obviously we're working a lot from home now, and that shift really wouldn't have happened without the pandemic. Those kinds of upheavals lead to some changes that in some cases can be beneficial. And I think in the Depression, a lot of things came out of the hardship in that there are a lot of social policies that changed the landscape of Australia. It took a long time, but in the middle of the 20th century, you see an increase in social housing because of what happened during the Depression, and you see, you know, more regulation on financial markets and things like that that happen as a result of the crisis. That there's opportunity there to make changes, and I think it's important that we right now reflect on what's just happened in the pandemic and think about what are the kind of changes that we want to see in our society and the way that we relate to each other in order to improve things going forward.
Our protagonist, 13-year-old Morris, as you mentioned, and it gives the story this really gorgeous childlike whimsy, but you know, he's also this inherently unreliable narrator because he is so young and naive. I'm wondering if you could talk to us about who Morris is and what you hope to capture by telling the story through his eyes.
Yeah, I think you're right. It's a tricky one because you're not going to be able to explore some things that you might explore with an adult narrator just because he doesn't have the life experience of 13 years old that other narrators would have. But I think there's an opportunity there as well because you get a lot of revelations at that time in your life. So I think at around 13, 14 years old is when you start to understand a lot more things about the world. And in many cases, you really don't like what you're discovering about the world. And so you have this kind of struggle with the world that you're coming into as you lose your innocence about the world. And I think that's kind of rich ground to stories, having a protagonist learn about the world. And I think it's important for us as readers, even if we're adult readers, to look back at that those revelations and think, you know, like, is this really the world that we want for our children, and how could we make it better for someone at that point in time? So there's, it's an interesting period to settle work in, and it's also an interesting period in the life of the narrator as well.
You know, Gemini Falls is about a lot of things. It's about coming of age. It's about familial love. But the story does centre around this murder, the murder of a young woman, which is a confronting thing at the best of times, but, you know, in terms of the story, more impactful in small towns like it does occur in Gemini, where the story's set. I feel like murder and true crime is somewhat dominating the zeitgeist at the moment. Some might argue that there are dangers in fictionalising horrors like murder and, you know, other things like that. What do you think we can learn from exploring these darker sides of humanity?
Yeah, I think it's interesting because I struggled a little bit at first whether or not I wanted to write a story that involved a murder, especially a murder of a young woman, which in some cases is a little bit used just as a device or it's a bit sensationalised. And I wanted to explore what effect that had on the community. Unfortunately and tragically, it is more likely to be a young woman killed than a young man, unless it's a, you know, male-on-male violence. So there are other instances of violence, and there are other deaths in the story, but it does start out with the murder of a young woman. And what I think I needed from the story to do is to kind of increase the pressure on it, on the town, and I think you do that through these kinds of crises. So whether or not it's murder or it's some scandal or something, these kinds of things become really important moments in the life of a community like this. And so you need some kind of inciting incident in order to have the tensions evolve within the community. And so that's where I was going forward with it, but I also didn't want to exploit it in a way within the story. So I wanted to reflect on the person who was murdered and what they were like in life and who they affected and the love that people had for that person, rather than them just being sort of like an object that is used to create some kind of outcome. And the way that Morris, I think, reflects on her death and compares it with the death of his mother and understands more about loss and grief through these deaths, I think is an important part of the story.
Yeah, the exploration of grief is a really important thread as well, and it's done really respectfully, I think. To leave on a lighter note, Sean, it is ultimately a hopeful story of change and moving on and homecoming. What would you like readers to take away from Gemini Falls?
Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up, because it's not just a story, a dark story of murder and struggle and unemployment and all those things that were happening at that time. It's also in the 30s, like now, people falling in love, and there's family, yeah. And there's people learning to interact with each other and getting to know each other. All of those things are the good parts of life, and their celebrations. And so I wanted to have a balance between the light and the dark within the story. Obviously, it's a very difficult time, and there was a lot of hardship, but there's a lot of people just helping each other out. And I think what I would like to people to get from the story, hopefully, is there's an opportunity in the difficult times, and we're going through one now, to try and make things better at the end. And I think we do that through trying to understand one another and through empathy. And I think reading fiction, especially for me, the fiction that I've read, there's a great opportunity for empathy there, in understanding other people's points of view and how choices affect people, the choices that we make in life, in that, like you said, that kind of safe space of a story, where the stakes are high within the story, but they're inside the story. They're not going to affect anyone else. It's just you get that empathetic response in a safe way.
Sean, thank you so much for your time today.
Great. Thanks for having me. It's been a pleasure.